was your biggest plan right here. So I thank you for coming. I know people are doing tournaments and stuff, and you know that happens. Growing up, Tosiah always had a softball tournament out there in Russell on Father's Day, so that's where we would sometimes be. Well, that's not really a gift. Unless you win, of course, obviously. Nobody want to go to a tournament and lose. Title of my message today, you don't get to quit. Whether you want to or not, you don't get to quit. Welcome back, Wrights. Had a little attack, didn't you? Huh? Yes, ma'am. I didn't contact you because I know you knew how to stand in faith. Amen. So I was expecting you to be here. You don't get to quit. You don't get to give up. No matter how bad things are getting in your life, you don't get to quit because of who lives on the inside of you. Jesus was not a quitter, although we know in the garden there came a time where he wanted to. If this cup, Lord, let this cup pass from me. So if you don't ever think that he came to that and he ever got to the place to where he wanted to do something else, he was about to have sin being placed upon him. The very thing that he despised, he didn't want for that time, but yet he saw you and I. But not my will. Your will be done. You don't get to quit. No matter how bad things get in your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I don't have the scripture on there yet. Actually, you can put that on there, but I'm just kind of lead up into that. It says, Paul's writing to the church and he's telling them how much the new covenant is better than the old. Y'all know the new covenant is so much way better than the old. But we look at the old and we can see all these stories on how God has proven himself time and time again in people's lives. And it's like, wait a minute, we have something so much better. How come we're not experiencing those great things? I mean, I'm talking, my goodness. How does Moses part the sea? How was he able to climb up mountains at 120 years old? How was your prophets able to prophesy over dry bones and become an army? And it's the same God that we serve today. He says, even though the old covenant was glorious and how God gave Moses the laws, they were etched in stone. Paul reminds them here in this chapter that the new covenant is more glorious because we have the Holy Spirit who is life giving. Paul reminds them that the new covenant is more glorious because we have a life-giving Holy Spirit. See, the old covenant, which was glorious, brought condemnation. It was the administration of death. The new covenant makes us right with God. We have right standing with God. We have it better than them. So guess what? If they didn't quit under administration of death, what gives us the right to quit under something that makes us right standing, where we have right standing with God? We don't get to. We don't get to shut it down. We are not the righteousness of God because of our own doing, but because of our belief in Jesus. Being in a new covenant, we can be very bold when it comes to the kingdom of God. And it's not just for leaders, but it's for the church, it's for the body of Christ. We can all be bold because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Now, can you imagine making sacrifices for your sins week after week, month after month, year after year, what have you, and realize and understand that it never really truly pleased God? It didn't. The blood of bulls and goats did not please him. It did not satisfy him. But there's one that did. It's Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It pleased him. And he did that for you and I. Every time they read the law of Moses, there was a veil that covered their minds and hearts where they could not have a deep understanding and relationship with the Father. We have a relationship with the Father. That makes us even better. being better off in the covenant of God, in the new covenant. But since we are in the new covenant, the veil can only be removed by believing in Jesus. Now we pick up at the end of chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 3:15. It says, yes, even today, when they read Moses' writing, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But when someone turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Taken away. What's that song back in the day? I can see clearly now, the veil is gone. See, when you believe in Jesus, the veil, it uncovers. It's taken away so we can clearly see who the Father is through Jesus. In verse 17, it says, for the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. How come I didn't see anybody dancing and shouting? And I'm going to keep saying that until somebody do it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's freedom from law. Can you go to, we're going to jump to Romans 7:4. It says, so my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ, and now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of evil deeds for God. Good deeds. If you got goodness living on the inside of you, that's what you produce. What's that thing way back in the day? Who was that? Yogo, what was it? Yogo Whippy. You only get out what you put in or whatever. Whatever comes out of you, that's... We got the Spirit of the living God living inside of us. Good comes out of us, right? Every once in a while, we might get the flesh getting in the way. In Galatians 5:18, it says, but when you are directed or led by the Spirit of God, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Another reason why we walk and live by the Spirit rather than by the flesh, when you live your life by the Spirit, you are not under the administration of death. You're under the administration of grace. Another thing that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from fear. In Romans 8:15, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And then in 2 Timothy, this is the Amplified Version. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning and fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. We have freedom from sin. Freedom from fear. Freedom from the law. Freedom from sin. In Romans 6:14, says sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Boy, that's a good scripture there. Sin is no longer your master. You cannot overcome sin by doing good works. You can't. It's not enough. You got to accept what Jesus has done for you and then allow that transformation by renewing of your mind take place so that outwardly you begin to do that. Sin has been dealt with in your life by the blood of Jesus, and it's by grace through faith that you have been set free. You have been delivered, you have been healed, and you have been forgiven. The Passion Translation says it like this. Remember this, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. You are not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. The Amplified Version says it. For sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you, since now you are under law as slaves, but under grace as subjects of God's favor and mercy. Listen, you're without excuse. You don't get to quit. Why? Sin doesn't have no power over you. So what sin is bullying you right now? What sin? Can you think of a bully? Just imagine your sin taking you by the collar and just dragging you all around. Everywhere it wants to go, bullying you. What sin is bullying you right now? Is it a sin of disobedience to God? Now we claim this is the year of what? Obedience. Now, some people might say, well, you're not an apostle. You can't claim a year of obedience. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm a child of God. Prophets can only do that. Prophets can only claim a year of this. I said, listen, has God ever spoken to you to tell somebody else something? You're a prophet in that sense. In that time and moment, you were a spokesman for God. And the second thing is, what's wrong about being obedient to God? Where's the downfall in that? Where's the side effects in that? There's nothing wrong with being obedient to God. There are no pitfalls when you obey God and His word. See, when you're trying to get your life back together and God is taking you through some things that may challenge you in every way, staying obedient to Him and His word becomes easier and easier because you continue to grow spiritually. The CEV version of this one. It says, don't let sin keep ruling your lives. You are ruled by God's kindness and not by the law. And y'all know I got the TBV version going on. Quit allowing sin to punk you every single day. God's grace now rules your life, so live in it and say goodbye to that old dead corpse. Come on now. Quit allowing it to punk you. Quit allowing it to beat you up day after day after day and you don't accept God's grace and what He's done for you. Get those thoughts out of your mind. The thoughts of failure. Well, I've done it. Who cares? It don't matter if you just did it walking right before the door and you just let an F-bomb go out. Lord, I thank you for your grace. Forgive me for that. That was wrong. Don't worry. Come on. Let's get it. Let's roll. We got some more work to do. Did I do that? No, I didn't do that. Quit allowing sin to punk you. In Romans 6:18, it says this, and having been set free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will and thought, purpose, and action. Now live your life intentionally to please God. Now, every single day, intentionally live your life to please God. And without faith is what? It's impossible to please Him. Live your life intentionally with great intentions to please God. Lord, I want to do your will today. I know I got my own goals. I know I got my own plans. I know I got my own dreams. But Lord, I want what you want for me. What is it that you want me to do? Who is it that you want me to speak to? Who is it that you want me to pray for? Who is it that you want me to have lunch with? I'm going to live intentionally for you. If I need to speak well over my boss, help me to do that. Because sometimes he'd be getting on my last nerve. Lord, if I got to do right by my coworker, help me to do that. Because why? We don't want sin bullying us every single day, the same thing over and over and over. And we don't understand why we can't grow. We don't understand why we can't spiritually grow. Why am I not? It's just like what was my friend Cello talked about, Groundhog Day. Same thing over and over again. In verse 18, it says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. And that change takes place in believers first. And that change that takes place in believers first starts inwardly and then appears outwardly. But the case for Jesus, it was already inwardly. And then He was transfigured. They, Peter, James, and John, actually got to see a glimpse of the glory of God. How awesome is that? Man. But there will be a day where the Bible says that we will be changed in a what? Twinkling. Y'all say twinkling? You got the King James Version ingrained in you. That in a twinkling of an eye, we will be changed from glory to glory. In a twink, we will be changed and we will be just like Him. Romans 8:29 says this, For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So you were not an accident. God chose you to become just like Jesus, so stop beating yourself up. You're not an accident. I don't have any purpose in my life. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I guarantee you, if you're doing something and it went bad, I said, just allow God to. Lord, I want to live for you. Every single day, if you got to wake up, Lord, I recognize what you did for me on that cross. I receive your grace. And help me to walk in your grace today. We shouldn't be so sin conscious to where we man, I missed it today. I missed it this hour. I missed it this minute. I missed it this second. I may miss it every single time. I don't even know. But you get more focused on the grace of God rather than on your sin. If people come across your path and begin to imply certain things indirectly to you, don't give it a second thought. That is powerless. You never allow 15 seconds of ignorance to ruin your whole day. Somebody says something sideways, you read a quote on Instagram or Facebook or X or whatever that social media. Don't allow it to get under your skin. Okay? Don't allow it to get. Never allow 15 seconds of ignorance. God created you in his image, period. In 1 John 3:1-2, it says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he called us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he has taken us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of light. So we don't fully know what we will be. But when he comes, we will be changed. We will know exactly how we are, how he is. In that moment, we will know. God has given us a partial revelation of that in that transfiguration, but we will know because we were created to be exactly like him. People may see something different outwardly with you. I don't look like Richard, but we both have the same living God on the inside of us. See, living stones. Every stone, there's no stone that looks the same. There's no rock that looks the same. There's no snowflake that looks the same. I said, you know, you might have identical twins, but at the same time, we're all different. But the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. So guess what? You don't get to quit. You don't get to throw in a towel when things get tough. There's a song that I just downloaded. I mean, I wouldn't say just down. I downloaded it maybe about a month ago. It's an old 80s song by Billy Ocean. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Whew. See, he did not give you a spirit of timidity, cowardice. When things get tough in our life, we get tough right back. But we get tough with Jesus. We can't get tough in our own flesh. That doesn't make us tough. What is it? What is it? The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We get tough. We allow God to fight those battles in our life. The tough does not just stay in the same place and just pounce and go around playing the victim. If people are playing the victim, you don't truly know who you are in Christ. You never, ever have to play the victim to people. Because you understand who you are in Christ. You're not the victim. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We all know that story about Job, and what was done to him. But through all that he had gone through, he still trusted in God. There are these young men, these young teenagers throughout the scripture, even in the old covenant, the old administration of death, God showed himself mightily in their lives. But the faith in God has to be voiced activated those three young Hebrew boys who was thrown into the fiery furnace. Azariah, Hananiah, Mishael, when they were getting ready to be put in the fire, these young men did not want to bow down to that statue at all. We know. They knew that would dishonor God if they served Nebuchadnezzar that way, if they bowed down. So when the music was played, they didn't bow down. They didn't back down. They didn't give in to culture. They didn't give in to what the king had said. Well, you're not going to be able to share your faith here in this United States if so-and-so is president. Is that going to stop you? You can't preach Jesus anywhere on Sundays, no. You're not going to be able to gather as a church. Well, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus if that ever comes out of any leader's mouth. Because that's straight out of the pit of hell. Pressure was put on them. They still would not bow. Whoever does not bow will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And when they found out these young men wouldn't bow, the king demanded that the furnace be heated how many times hotter? 7 times. How hot does fire need to be in order to burn you? You see what anger and hatred and just a hatred for God will do to people? I mean, just they just become irrational. It needed to be 7 times hotter. And the people that was taking them and where they were bound, the people that was taking them to the fiery furnace, they burnt up. And then they threw them in there. And the next thing you know, you see a fourth in there. One that looks like the Son of Man. Whew. They walking around just partying. Hey, what's going on, dog? Yeah. Ain't nothing to it. Ain't no thing but a chicken wing. Which has some marshmallows. It didn't faze them. Old covenant. And then sometimes we get in a new covenant, we forget who we are in Christ, and we fold like a $2 suitcase because certain things happen. They were thrown in a fire. What you have is so much better. So when there is pressure come upon you, the Bible says we are pressed but not crushed. We are persecuted but not abandoned. We are struck down but not destroyed. Those things can happen to you, but it doesn't have to have a lasting effect on you. Look at what they said in Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you." Sometimes we don't need to defend ourselves, and other times we did. Paul talked about, let me defend myself in certain areas. He says, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Your faith is voice activated. They are fully trusting in God delivering them. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. So when the enemy is backing you down in the corner, are you going to activate your faith? Or are you going to fold like a $2 suitcase? That stuff is voice. You have to speak that out. And then the Son of Man will come hang with you when you're thrown into that fire. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So when you're going through your worst times at night or what have you, whatever storm you're going through, voice activated faith. You have to speak it out. You have to confess it out, whether people like it or not. I don't like that word of faith stuff and all that stuff. You're going to have to do it sometime. You can't go through life without using it. The choices we make, they have consequences. Just make sure you're on the right side of truth rather than being on the wrong side or being on the side that you like. I seen a great quote that said, people no longer defend what is right. They defend who they like. We have to stand. God doesn't show partiality. And since we're created in his image, we shouldn't either. We have to defend what is right. Defend what is right. Sometimes people would, I've heard this a lot of times. I'm on social media. Sometimes I am on social media. My wife and I send each other TikToks that are just funny. We got some funny people out there in the world. Just be laughing. But the thing about it is that I seen something on there that, man, I don't even know where I was going with this. I'm going to have to come back to that. Seriously, just I had a story. It's going to come back. Make sure you're on the right side. Make sure you're right. God does not show partiality. So we need to defend. We need to stand. Embrace ourselves like a man. Jesus told this to Job. Brace yourself like a man, because I'm getting ready to question. You're going to have to answer these questions. Brace yourself like a man. Brace yourself. Man, we have to stand up and rise up. We don't get to quit. We don't get to quit on our families. We don't get to quit on our wives. We don't get to quit on our friends. We don't get to quit on our family. We don't get to quit. We have to continue in on it. No matter how bad things get, you got to stay in it. Times I wanted to quit. I don't get to quit. You don't get to quit. In 2 Corinthians 4, it says this: therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanding methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. Paul never lost sight on what he was called to do under the new covenant of grace. And grace does not give us a license to sin. We understand that. Grace does not give us the liberty to sin and just treat people however we want. But it invites all believers to live a life that is worthy of our call. Paul didn't want to do all these underhanded tricks. You just tell the truth. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I said, I don't think you're truly a man if you have to lie. You don't have to lie. Just double down on what you said if you believe it. And then even if you were wrong, guess what? There's correction. And correction is a beautiful thing. It is. If you're wise, that's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with correction. My wife thought, the way to say coyote is coyote. I had to correct her. Now, that's just how all Midwesterners are, right? Y'all say coyote. I grew up saying coyote. Paul didn't want to manipulate other people. That wasn't his mission. I don't want to manipulate people, because manipulation of others is witchcraft. That's all it is. I said, so we just got to be straight with people. 1 Corinthians 10, it says, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So you're not the only one who's going through something. Everyone else around in the world is going through something. And they might be going through some of the same identical things as you. But they're not giving up either. And we see all these people in the Bible. They didn't give up either. And we have great examples throughout, from cover to cover, did not give up. So what gives you the right to quit? You don't get to quit. You don't get to just end it. No matter how bad things get, no matter how unbearable it gets, there is nothing out there that is just too much for you because of who lives on the inside of you. I'm reminded of a story of a pastor he was pastoring at the time, and I guess he's an evangelist now or teacher or what have you. But either way, it's like he had got really, really sick. Him and his wife were really, really poor. and he couldn't work. And so his wife was like, no, you're going to have to get up, put him under. He put his arm over her, and she was walking him around and began preaching the word and just speaking the word over him. Why? He had to work. They didn't have anything else. They have no food in the kitchen, nothing. That's like, so she was over here prophesying over him. It wasn't a woe is me time. They didn't quit. Now he's got a large ministry and it's just reaching a lot of people out there in Colorado Springs. Didn't quit. You don't get to quit just because it didn't go your way. You don't get to quit just because you prayed and you haven't seen an answer yet. You don't get to quit just because the doctor may have said something else. Your faith is voice activated. Speak what his word says. Yes, I understand this, but my God says. Say what he's told you to say. Speak what he's told you to speak. People didn't quit. They lived to tell their testimony because they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Because Jesus lives on the inside of us, there is no temptation that can overtake you. There is no disease that can overtake you. There is no sickness that can overtake you. There is no problem that can overtake you. So you're going to have to get you out of the way. You're going to have to get you out of the way and allow the life-giving spirit that lives on the inside of you guide you into all truth. Tammy, did you quit? Because if you did, you wouldn't be here. Come on. Browns, did you quit? Come on, Vicky, did you quit? Come on. Come on. Now, the only reason why I'm looking at you is because I know your name, but I was about to call you her name. Jan, did you quit?
No.
No. Come on. Luann, did you quit? Did you quit? No, 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 no. You wouldn't be here if you quit. And all the other ones that aren't here? No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. They're quitters. No, I'm just playing. Timing is everything. God's timing is the best. So stop trying to rush stuff. His timing is going to be the best thing that you ever do when you do it in his timing. When we get to the place, Lord, I'm believing, I'm confessing, I'm believing the Lord for something, and then I got to go out and then try to work it myself, and I got to tell this person that, I got to tell that person that, and we got to do this in here, and then we got to kind of do some underhanded tactics here. You don't have to do all that. After you pray, you believe, you receive, you rest, and allow God to do the work. His angels. He'll bring it to pass, you go on to the next thing. Why? Because your blessings will come and overtake you. You don't get to quit. Joe, did you quit? You had a jacked up life, didn't you? But you're here now. By the grace of God. You didn't quit. Somebody once asked me, were you afraid to die? I said, no, wasn't even an option. Wasn't. I knew I was coming back. It's not an option. I don't get to quit. Sometimes you want to, when life becomes unbearable, but you don't get to quit. Fathers, we can't. Your family needs you. This nation needs you. Let me back up. The city needs you. You don't get to quit. So if people want to go parading around and doing certain things or what have you, I said, no, 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 You don't get to quit. You have to stand on truth. Defend what is right, just, and fair. This is what Jesus told him in Matthew 23:23. You guys tithe all your spices, but you neglect the weightier issues of life. Justice, mercy, and faith, you don't do. You tithe, yeah, you give, but you don't practice justice, mercy, and faith in people's lives. We have to do that too. But he says you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. We don't get to quit that. Andy, you don't get to quit. Had it rough. You've had thoughts. But you don't get to quit. I'm not going to let you. And God's not going to let you. Because the life-giving spirit lives on the inside of you. Just as you have a heavenly father and an earthly father, you are a father. So you don't get to quit on your kids. I will chase you down. And I will raise you up. You don't get to quit. Hallelujah. You didn't quit. You're strong too. And not a lot of people know your story. But you're here. Because you got a good dad right there. Amen. He knows how to pray. And I'm talking about some powerful prayers. And it's good to know dad, to have dads that know the word. You don't quit. You still praying for your children? Don't quit. God's going to restore that. But it's going to be in his timing. So don't you back off. I haven't backed off either. Not one iota. Because I know God is going to make a way. I don't know your story, but I know you're not a quitter. You know how I can tell? Unless, like I told everyone else, you're here. But it doesn't mean that the thought hasn't crossed your mind a few times. And she probably didn't even know it. But you're here, a man of faith. A man of courage, a man of boldness, a man that is yielded to God. Stand up, please, if you would, in the name of Jesus. Come here. Come on out here. What is your name again?
Troy.
You're not an Eggman fan, are you?
A what?
Troy Eggman fan?
No.
Okay. Thank you, God. I was going to have you sit right back down. But Father God, we thank you for this life-giving spirit in this man right here, Troy. We thank you, Lord, for his heart, for his mind, and for the peace that you have given him that surpasses all understanding in the name of Jesus. And Father God, in every decision that he makes for his home, Lord, will be guided and led by you. We thank you. We thank you for increase in their life and in their marriage and in his family in the name of Jesus. And any sickness that is in his body, Lord, we command it to be healed in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Love you. Don't know you, but I love you. Amber, don't give up. Dustin knows he can't quit. He sent me a text saying he couldn't be here today. But see, that's a good man. Because he wanted to. Because if you don't see him, he leads his family. And he leads them well. Hallelujah. Y'all stand to your feet. Faith. Faith, I know you're moving, but you didn't quit on us. Most of y'all don't know Faith used to be singing up here when I first started. She's a pretty good singer. Come on up here. Do we have stuff in the back or just... You're just going to put it in the back? Okay. Come over here, babe. Kristen. Babe is not in here, is she? She might answer. Huh? We just stretch your hand out to Faith. Lord, we thank you for her life. Lord, we thank you for everything that she's done and the journey that you have brought her on, Lord. Father God, you've been with her in the beginning, and you're still with her now, and you're going to be with her when she's in Arizona, Lord. And everything that she sets her hand to, Father God, we just believe will be blessed, Lord. And that you will continue to speak the truth into her, Father God, that you continue to reveal your word to her, Lord, as she continues to grow spiritually in you. And we thank you for healthy relationships and a healthy life for all our days in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the journey.
Thank you.
God bless you. You are all, there's, I guess there's a basket back there so you can give your hugs and stuff to, yes, ma'am. Oh, thank you. Love you too. God bless you. I thought she wanted to sing a song. Father God, we thank you for everyone in here, Lord. We thank you that you have given us the boldness to just continue to go on. And we don't have any quitters in here today, Lord. And we're not going to give up on what's going on in life and in this nation and in this world. But help us to start that in our own homes and our own families. Hallelujah. And if there's anyone here who's been having thoughts of suicide, we cancel that out in the name of Jesus. You're worth it because he's made you worth it. He didn't die for you to do that. Just receive forgiveness. Thank you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.